Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Janet, who is here to talk with us about one of the many exciting practice opportunities that's being rolled out this very month. Welcome, Janet.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
You're so welcome. I was so excited to be able to talk about this tonight.
I know. Well, April is kind of a bonanza of practice month, isn't it?
Yeah, and back when we first started talking about this, April seemed a long way away.
It really did. And then somehow it just always, here it is.
Yeah.
So, virtual sitting groups. And actually, I mean, this one, I was looking at this today, this one we've been talking about for a long time. So this is really exciting that we're actually, here we are, starting this opportunity.
Yeah, I don't actually quite know the very foundational beginnings of this, except that
I can tell you I've been living at the monastery a long time, and people have been asking for it that entire time that I know of. So, and it probably starts before that. So,
yeah.
But the technology is here now, which of course it wasn't all those many years ago.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we can do that now, because we do have sitting groups around the country, and but lots of people don't live near a group.
Sure. Most people.
To be able to come to one. I live in New Hampshire, and I've had people call me, and they are still in New Hampshire, but they're a good hour and a half away.
Right. Yeah.
And they want to sit with a group. So this is like the perfect antidote to that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So tell us about it. How does it work?
Well, we're starting out with four groups a week. So there will be, I can tell you the times.
Great.
Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific and 7 p.m. Eastern. Sunday mornings, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, and 4 a.m. Pacific.
That's my favorite.
yeah, and 7 a.m. Eastern. So there's the four, and I think we're thinking that if it goes really well, you know, we will add on to it. That's how we're starting out. We're actually kicking it off this Sunday morning.
Oh, that's so exciting. Wow.
Which is very exciting. So 7 o'clock, both Pacific and Eastern, there will be a sitting group happening.
And so what does that mean? How do I...
And 10 o'clock Eastern.
If I want to participate, what do I do?
So it's all going to be on the website. I do not believe it's up right at this moment, but it will be up very, very shortly.
Okay.
And there will be call-in information. So just like you call into any kind of a group, there's a call-in and the access code. You can also come in by Skype.
Uh-huh.
And so you will just set your place up at home where you want to sit, and then call in a few minutes prior to the scheduled time. And then there will be a trained facilitator who will guide the group through a 30-minute meditation, and then it will be followed by a weekly reading from one of Sherry's books. So everything will be explained, described. Everyone will be muted so that it will be a silent, just like as if you were going to a formal meditation group.
Right. Wow.
So we will mute the lines after everyone's sure they're on the right call. It would be kind of hard to call up and have just total silence and then wondering if you're on the right call. So just like on open air where it's like, you know, this is open air and in a few minutes we'll be starting,
right,
you know,
right,
that kind of a thing.
Sure. Yeah, I just had this great image of, boy, you could just call any phone number and just be silent for 30 minutes.
I know. Yeah, just exactly. You could totally do
that. Don't
know
who you're meditating with.
Right.
So, and that's the thing. Forever, you know, people come to the monastery and that, I mean, we all know it. The image we often use for it is, okay, so you're going to start jogging every morning and you're going to go out at 7 a.m. Okay, well, maybe yes, maybe no. It's raining, it's cold, it's whatever. But if you're going to meet a friend at the lamppost at 7 a.m., the chances that you're going to show up really, really go way up. And the point is, you obviously want to do it. You know, you want to start the running practice. You want to start a meditation practice, whatever it is. And this is such a huge support for that, because there literally will be, I imagine, as it gets going, at least dozens of other people on that same call with you. The bells will be rung. I imagine the recitations will happen, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, very exciting. And, you know, one of the things we were also thinking about is that a quote that Sherry has, that one of the greatest weapons of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is making a person believe they should be able to end suffering alone. But that's not true and never has been. Yeah, so for us as a Sangha, I mean, you know, I'm completely across the country from the monastery, but I have never felt so connected, you know, with these kinds of practices. And it's so supportive to practice with a group, you know, just as you were saying, you know, a community of people practicing together. There's just nothing like it.
If there isn't, I really have goosebumps as you're saying that, Janet. And what I'm really getting is that where we are is becoming more and more irrelevant, which is not the same as, you know, what can, you know, sometimes we talk about, gosh, we're going to have so many virtual opportunities that people won't come on retreat. But my experience is just the opposite, that what happens is that all of these opportunities, like these virtual sitting groups, for example, give people the support to bring the level, the depth of practice that it seems like people truly, sincerely want to bring into their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
But as that quote from Sherry points at, it's nearly impossible to do because the world is just not set up that way. So to
exactly.
Help people have that daily support, and then, you know, whenever they can, get themselves to the monastery or get themselves to another retreat closer to their wherever they are. But that this is all the stuff that makes it possible to practice all the time, not just the once a year or twice a year or whatever it is that we can go on retreat.
Exactly, Jen. And the thing is that some people in Sangha probably are new to sitting as well. So we want to make sure that everybody has all the tools that they need to feel successful sitting in this way with a group. So online there will also be Sherry's DVD, The Secret Is There Are No Secrets,
yep.
An Introduction to Zen Meditation with Sherry Huber. I think there will be a link to how you can download it from Keep It Simple.
Oh.
And so that for a lot of people, that would be something they would want to, you know, look at first.
Yeah.
We'll also have copies of the Daily Recollection and the Suffering is Optional recitation and a beginner's guide to meditation so that people feel like they're supported.
I feel
and,
supported.
Yeah. So it's not like, okay, everyone just come sit and good luck.
Right.
But here's some assistance, and so in that way, you know, we're hoping that it just makes it easily done for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that video, I can say, is fabulous. We actually use that when we do orientations here at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really great video that walks through all the, you know, the posture of meditation, the breathing of meditation, all the aspects of it. So, yeah, that's excellent. I didn't realize you were putting that as part of it. That's great.
Yeah. I think we've tried to think of everything that would be supportive. And, you know, just for me working on this, that's what just keeps coming back to me again and again, is what a compassionate practice this is. And, you know, how I have been supported every step of the way to bring this to the Sangha.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really strikes me about it, Janet. There's so many levels to it. Of this is an offering for the entire Sangha. Anyone in the Sangha who, you know, can participate. And the thing that's so great about it is, I mean, a person could go to their own local sitting group if they're lucky enough to have one, and then if they want to meditate, you know, all these other times in the week, they can just join into those as well. So it's a huge support for the entire Sangha. It's also a really great support for the facilitators who are stepping forward for the, you know, their own practice, to step into stewarding that opportunity, and then for someone like you who's really stepping forward to say, I'll take this on. You know, I'll be the person who organizes this. And again, we've talked about this in other Good News Updates, but that the amount that's being offered in the Sangha is so indicative of the place of practice that the Sangha is in and the ability of people to step forward in that way, the depth of their own practice that's reflected in their ability to really captain an effort like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, doing this has been working meditation.
Sure.
You know, completely. I love it because it's like one day life just dropped this in, you know, with the opportunity of, do you want to do it? And it was like, yes, absolutely. I want to give back to practice. I love this practice. I love this idea. And then somewhere down along the line came, wait a minute, you don't even know how to do anything,
right.
You know? And so it's great because it brings it up, and I know that my work is to pay attention to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, with conditioning coming in, trying to talk me out of whatever.
Exactly.
And just keep moving on with the next step.
Yeah, and then I project, because I know from my own experience, that then that experience translates into all other content of your life.
Yes.
Whether it's directly practice-related or not, which assists us in making that flip-flop where at first it's like, well, you know, I live my life and then I practice.
Yes.
And over time it becomes, I practice. And everything, all the content of my life, everything in my life is within that context of practice.
Absolutely, yes. So it's been just a great opportunity for me that I've just so appreciated. And I'm really looking forward to this moving forward and happening. I can't wait. It's just like, oh, my God, this Sunday is so exciting.
It's like that place of, isn't that generous of everyone to join these groups for your practice? That's
yes.
How it can feel, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people have stepped up to participate in this, you know, so far. So everybody just stay tuned. It will all be revealed momentarily.
Okay, great. And so it'll be up on the web, and I imagine an email will go out?
Yes,
checking the
I believe an email will be going out. Okay. So people will be finding out there'll be something on the web. Under meditation, I think it will be virtual groups and sitting groups.
Okay.
So people will be able to see that, and yeah.
Can't wait. Thanks.
Yeah,
so much,
me neither.
Anna. Thanks for the entire thing, and especially thanks for being with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jen, for the opportunity.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Janet. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Conditioning thinks you are scheming to remove all obstacles to waking up and ending suffering.
You have caught on to our plan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, I did have a curiosity question. I wish I could have asked it. Somebody will answer this question. So as people know who have been on to the monastery or on retreat with us anywhere or whatever, we do have the daily recollection that we say first thing in the morning with our first sit, and then we have the ending suffering little recitation that we do all other times at the beginning, at the end of sitting. At the end of sitting, the first morning sit, too. And I'm just curious to know if people will be unmuted and have a chance to do the recitation together if they want to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so somebody will answer that. I'm sure they'll be texting you, Michael, and you, before this call is over, and you can let us know what the story is. Because, I mean, that's the thing that would just I don't know, you know, but it would just completely feel like you were there in the group because,
yes.
I mean, with those people because you'd all be saying the recitations together. So
yeah,
I hope that's the case. And if it's not possible right now, oh, well, it's still going to be really, really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who, like us, who think meditation is fun. much of the world does not think so, but we do. And, you know, the points that Janet and Jen were making that are so good, there were many of them, but one of my favorites was what a support this is for people who are new to sitting. So instead of, it's terrifying to come somewhere when you don't know how to sit and you're not sure you can sit for that long. It's terrifying. So to be able to practice all of this at home so that when by the time you actually get into a group, you're completely dialed in. You're an old timer.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Yes, fascinating. And I'm excited to hear more about other things to come, too.
Yeah, because as you know, there are some other big ones in the works.
Yes.
Yeah, in the pursuit of removing all obstacles. I really like that. It's like, you know, nobody's going to be able to listen to or believe a voice that says, oh, you don't have time for that, or that's too hard, or you don't know how to do that, or, you know, no. There's something for everybody.
Yes. It's removing all excuses pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've got a telephone or some kind of mobile phone or internet, I mean, you just can't escape it.
That's right. Yeah. And hopefully, it's an inspiration for people who listen to voices that say, oh, that technology stuff, that's beyond you, you know. Well, a telephone is not actually beyond any of it. Boy.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Today is the last day to sign up for a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies.
Uh-huh.
Today's the day. And you are invited to submit tweets for the Practice Everywhere Tweet Program. Up your game by sharing your tweets.
Yes.
And you can go ahead.
No. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about all the places that we go in the world where there are actually little ditties and jingles and that sort of thing that would lend themselves to a tweet. If we just jot them down and send them in to, how do we get them there, Michael?
Well, you can use the link that comes in any recent tweet that asks for your submission. So every now and again, among the regular tweets, there's one that says, submit your tweet here, and there's a link to that.
All right.
And sign up now if you're not already on our email list to receive upcoming announcements about our spring training offerings, which include virtual meditation groups, which we just heard about from Janet and Jen, the Stop, Drop, and Text program, and a new recording and listening website.
Right.
And I wasn't sure how to sign up for the mailing list, so I went to the website, and I noticed in the upper right-hand corner, I think it's on every page, it says mailing list. I think it's a green area up there, and you just click on mailing list, and that takes you right to the page.
Uh-huh. All right. And we are committed to not inundating people with emails, so it'll be a small offering.
Which is another part of the kindness of practice. You know, to have that big perspective, to see everybody's lives and what's going on, and to be sensitive to that, it's just so kind.
Mm. Yeah, because that's another one of those places where the voices would say, "You can't hit unsubscribe." You know, they're just crazy. But if you get one every week or 10 days or 2 weeks or something like that, and it's something like a newsletter that's just fun things to read, or the musings article, or, the things that are inspiring to us, then it's not overwhelming. It feeds the heart.
Yes, indeed. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Mm-hmm.
Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So here we go, Sherry.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Well, hello, Zoe.
How are you?
What's going on in your life?
Well, a couple things just came up, and I'm going to try to focus on the first thing that I wanted to ask you actually about, which is I think it might be helpful to hear you talk about the difference between an attitude of mind towards the person and content. Like I get kind of mixed up about certain content and whether it's inherently unhelpful. And
okay. can you
I know
give me an
that
example,
above all,
Joey?
yeah, definitely. Like I know above all, the attitude of mind, you know, the relationship with this person is, you know, above all most important. And so then I get caught up with content like TV, alcohol, things that I have a belief, you know, on one side of a duality, I would say, you know, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. It's just content. Like what's more important is the process. And then on another hand, I might get, you know, drawn into believing that there are some pieces of content that are inherently unhelpful. Is that clear?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think so. We'll talk about it and we'll see how clear it is to me. And so the thing that there are a couple of aspects of it that I want to ask you about. And one is this unhelpful is an interesting word, right? Because
mm-hmm.
there really are a lot of things that are not helpful. And then that we have to look at, but are they harmful?
Mm.
And then to me, when we look at are they harmful, it's are they harmful to you? So, for instance, you know, I may know someone who drinks to excess and is drunk every night. Now, that's not an issue for me, except to the degree that I have judgment about it.
Mm.
Right? Because it's that person's life. And it really, mm-hmm. it is really none of my business.
Right.
But if I live with that person, then it moves into a completely different realm.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so tell me if this is kind of along the lines. Like, I've been trying to let go of right and wrong, you know, like in the judgment, because I know that the judgment is probably what holds a lot of it in place. You know, like, if I had no sense that this was right or wrong, would I still do it? Or, you know, if I had no voices about this, would I still choose to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I kind of get like I get to a place where I like I don't know who. I don't know how to say this.
Well, let may I?
Yeah.
Add a kind of a question. When you look at it, as best as you can tell, does it lead towards suffering or away from suffering?
Right. This is the question. This is the question. So does it lead towards suffering or away from suffering? And then, but is it just the voices that are talking about the content?
Well, voices have to be aside. Okay. Because they always lead towards suffering.
Right. So without the voices, do these things in my, you know, would that, does this lead to suffering?
Yes. So then I would be breaking it down along the lines of, I mean, these would be the places I would want to explore. Does this, whatever it is, interfere with my ability to be present?
Mm-hmm.
Does it keep me from being able to keep commitments to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like it produces regret in my heart? Which is different from regret in the voices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So those might be interesting places to explore. And again, the tricky part is the voices are there, as we know, not to help you into clarity, but to obscure any clarity that might be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is it possible to say, you know, I don't want to use cocaine, not because there's anything inherently wrong with it, but I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like what it does to my body. That's not really where I want to spend my money. I don't see it making life better for me over the long haul. So even though it might be fun and entertaining right now, it's not, what I get from it is not worth what it takes from me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody else might look at those and have a completely different set of responses. So that's why I don't need to judge that. There are many, many things in life that I can look at and say, well, I'm glad I don't want that. I'm glad I don't want to do that. I mean, I drive past enormous houses, and the response is, oh, I'm so glad I don't want one of those.
Yeah. I think that's helpful. I like the long-term perspective. That's helpful.
It's tough. It's a funny thing, isn't it? We're so about in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, there is the long view.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So many people, it seems, who actually aren't focused on being in the moment, but are instead living for instant gratification?
Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification not being at all the same thing as in the moment, and forgetting that if you're fortunate enough to live a long time, then everything that's happening in this moment is going to have great benefits, yay or nay, positive or negative, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not taking care of my body now at 25, then what's it going to be like at 35 and 45 and 55 and 65 and 75?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the idea is, well, you know, I probably won't live that long anyway, or I really won't care. There's a chance that you will, and if you do, you'll definitely care.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. So that's really good. That's really helpful. I feel like I noticed the report on how I'm doing wanted to come up again, and so I'm still working on eliminating that whole frame of reference for my life, because I noticed that the answer will always come from conditioned mind about how I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard. It's really hard to resist that report from, like, I don't know, like, to go. It's really hard for me to drop that and not go there and how I'm doing in practice and how I'm doing in life. And, you know, and I noticed getting twisted up with the voices about judgment, about how I spend my time and blah, 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 all this stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's the hardest relationship in the world to break, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. It wants to be your constant companion, wants to talk to you all the time, and really enjoys it when you don't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have this, a recording that, because I have a history of depression, as most people know. And so there's a tendency with depression for the voices, for conditioned mind, to want a person to check in first thing in the morning. So, you know, kind of before you even get your eyes open, it wants you to be looking around to see how you feel. Well, you know, if you're not a particularly, if you're not a morning person, then you don't feel that swell, right? And so the reminder is always to look to life to know how I'm doing. So I'm always going to ask kindness. I'm going to ask compassion. I'm going to ask patience. How am I doing?
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess I feel like I don't really know what that looks like.
Well, I'll tell you, I can promise you, you do. So if you have somebody, if you have somebody that you love, and they ask you, how do you think I'm doing? The odds are really good you're going to give them a kind, compassionate response. You're going to look to all of their best efforts and their successes and their goodness and the things that how hard they're trying and that sort of thing. And that's where your response is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do it for somebody else, you can do it for Zoe.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Yep.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judith from Northern California.
Well, hello, Judith. How are you doing?
Well, I'm so thrilled I got on.
Good, good.
I'm very excited to hear about the virtual sitting groups.
Uh-huh. Now you can
have
sitting groups.
Group.
You can have sitting groups all week long.
Oh, that's just so wonderful. I haven't had one except for at an at-home retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So since I can't go to them, I'm going to let them come to me, and I'm just thrilled.
Yeah, that's right. It's the old mountain in Mohammed, isn't it?
Yeah.
If people can't get to us, by golly, we're going to come to you.
Oh, it's just so great. And the other things that are coming up, oh, I'm very, very excited about it all.
Good, good.
And I wanted to share a sort of a upping my game experience tonight, which is that, well, there was a little drama, mostly in my head, I'm sure, about the neighbors and the neighbors using our garbage can and the landlord, et cetera, et cetera. And I found myself not being able to shrug it off, and days going by, and finally it got a lot worse. But the whole experience enabled me to up my game, and it required me to practice harder. And it was really, I understand why we talk about a difficult time being referred to as a workshop, because it had that same power.
Mm-hmm.
Make me to make me dig down into my deepest self and bring all my practice tools to bear. And I was able to come through on the other side.
Isn't that good? It's so fabulous when it comes together in a really practical, useful, tangible, visible kind of a way.
Everyday life. And and the best part is that last night, after I was able to let go and feel some relief, and I was awake in the middle of the night, and I thought this insight dropped in that of what I'm describing, that this was an opportunity. This is a spiritual opportunity. This is what it means when something difficult is a spiritual opportunity. It's not just a joke. It's the truth.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you know, this is a garbage can, right? So we could say, well, that's not exactly huge life content, but the process is the same one that people kill each other over.
Oh, I am very in touch with that.
You considered that, huh? Well, I'm glad you rejected that option.
No, but I didn't consider it. But it was, the feelings were that powerful.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely.
The suffering was that powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and the voices, the same voices that, of course, would work us up into a fever pitch of murderous rage, will then turn around and say, come on, you know, it's not that big a deal. What is the matter with you? Why can't you just...
Mm-hmm.
So to watch that whole process, to have that little at-home workshop, retreat, actually it sounds bigger than a workshop, that several-day retreat,
yeah,
is really helpful.
Right, so I actually came around to feeling grateful for this thing that I thought was nothing but irritation leading to suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's all the same process, isn't it? That there's a whole world of that kind of thing that starts out as irritation and works itself up into suffering. And seeing that as a process, we know that we can just plug in content after content after content after content into that movement and know that we can go through it step by step by step and get to the other side of letting it go.
Yeah, and then I can actually, I don't know if look forward to is the right word, but it could be other similar situations.
Yes.
Instead of just hoping that I can coast, you know.
That's right. Because once we get the hang of how fabulous it is to let go, we start looking for things to let go.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. So.
Well, good. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
all right.
I'll let you go.
We'll be sitting with you soon.
Yes, yes, you will.
All right. Thanks, Judith. Good night.
Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I received several texts about your idea about saying the daily recollection together.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of excitement about it, and they're exploring what's possible there.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. So news at 11 or whatever. More to come.
Yeah.
Huh?
More to come on that topic.
Good. Thank you.
And now we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back on the air.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and there's more callers here, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Renee in California.
Hello, Renee. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Good. What's
going on? So, it's very exciting, all these practice opportunities, because ego has no way to make an excuse about not practicing.
I missed meditation this evening. Oh, well, you can do it tomorrow morning with the group in.
It's like even some of them are small and some of them are big and some of them, you know, they fit into all parts of life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was looking at something recently that ego tells me, and that is that I have to change my circumstances or my life situation to practice.
Right. Oh,
and,
I love that
one,
doesn't it? Yeah.
It really does, yeah.
Mm.
And I just had a huge insight recently with help and that it is so not true, and it just shifted my whole perspective of the separation between what is so-called the other life and practice.
Uh-huh. Yes, because if I'm following along here, the voices will say, you can't practice in these circumstances. You have to change the content of your life. And then if you even consider changing anything about your life, it starts shrieking how you can't possibly do that.
Yeah, it just gets you in this argument with constant conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
That just leads to suffering, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of like continuous conversation, continuous suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you step back from it, I project what you were able to see is, well, now that's just silly. What in the world would we not want to practice with?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if I have life circumstances that are really difficult, well, wouldn't I want to practice with those? Or challenging or distracting or anything else? Wouldn't I want to practice with that? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's so many ways to do that with recording and listening and stop, drop, and text coming up and just so many ways to do it. And it's like there's a story about, and I'm trying to put it in words. I don't really know exactly what it is, but it's like that went to earlier talking about the television and that sort of thing. There's like some sort of story about, okay, when I finish all this, I'm going to go watch TV or I'm going to go, because it's looking for the comfort, the ease and comfort that is a lie.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes,
yeah.
It's looking for us to go to sleep so that it can rest up.
Yeah, and it has stories about what those things are for you to do. You know, like, okay, I get to relax now, you know, which is not really relaxing. It's going to sleep.
Right.
Going unconscious, yeah.
Going unconscious, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is that interim period where it does feel better to people because karmic conditioning is just haranguing them constantly. So it is a relief when they get distracted and the voices shut up for a little while because they're resting up. Right? But once
short-term
fix. And once we get the hang of, actually what would really help me, what would really feel good and take care of me, is to listen to some recordings made by somebody who really likes me, then TV is really out of business.
Yeah, it is, totally. It's like, you can. I'm experimenting with it now and looking at my evenings as practice, just full practice. Every evening is practicing and not having any distractions or comfort, you know, in quotes, and all of that. And just, in other words, I have to find things to do for practice. So I started it like a journal where I put Rumi poems in it, and then I draw pictures around it, or I listen to recordings, or I record and listen, or I go for a walk. The Walking with the Mentor group coaching is coming up, so I join that. And it's like, just the evenings can be different than what they have been.
Yes. And let me ask you this.
And they can be practice evenings.
Yeah. And how does that feel?
Yeah. Well, it feels like it feels exciting. Like,
yeah.
Wow, I could do this. Like, I could do this. Kind of like I was being told I couldn't do that every evening or something. I had to have something to go to or someone to talk to. Like, you know, it had to be a set up, scheduled thing. And I'm seeing that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Have to be. It could just be whatever I choose it to be, but it has to be practice.
And, you know, Renee, the thing that to me is most exciting about what you're saying is that an awful lot of people wake up, say, just this is just part of it, that wake up in the morning feeling unfulfilled, feeling like they kind of wasted their evening or it didn't really bring them what they wanted or whatever. And when the voice starts in, you know, maybe they ate too much or maybe they drank too much or they, you know, just zoned out or whatever it is. And there's a dissatisfaction with that.
Uh-huh.
But with what you're describing, there isn't. There's fulfillment. There's feeling good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The biggest part of it all is it takes the ammunition away from the voices because they can't tell you you did something wrong.
Right. And there's all of that, yes, definitely. And there's also something about caring for the being in it. Like you are caring for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not caring for yourself, and you are caring for yourself, so you're two up.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Two
yeah.
up from the previous two down, where you didn't care for yourself, and you did what didn't take care of you.
Yeah, and it astounds me that it had me convinced. You know, like I just saw it so clearly, and I just went, "Oh yeah, wow, that's amazing! Like I can do this." I can do this, that's all, really. Like,
yeah.
I can choose that instead of that.
I just love that.
And I don't
have
to believe the story about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love that. The way you just described that is, I'm going along seeing life in this particular way, and then all of a sudden it's like the lights come on. And,
yeah,
that wasn't true. I could do this other thing. And it's all so clear and simple.
Yeah, it had me convinced that these are the things you do that I don't even know how to describe how it had me convinced because
it's just a given. It's just a given, right?
It's a given. It's like under the radar. I never saw it. Like, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's really awesome. So I have my evening planned with all practice activities.
And Renee, just lest somebody think we're nutcase fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
That could also include watching a movie that you want to watch.
Right, it could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is choosing with conscious, compassionate awareness what takes care of you, not what takes care of conditioning. So there's really no, I mean, you can go out to dinner, you can, you can spend the evening with friends, you can, you know, whatever it is, but the choice is made for the heart, not by ego to lead to distraction.
Right, exactly. So it's not mm-hmm. a, what you're saying is it's not a distraction.
Right.
That you're consciously choosing
yes.
that. And it can be a practice activity no matter what it is.
That's exactly
I mean,
right.
Sorry,
it's not what,
that you can't.
It's not what, it's how, right?
Exactly. Not what, but how, which is the whole thing about being in a circumstance. It's the process of what you're doing, not where you are or what
yeah.
or what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
very
so,
good.
Very exciting, enthusiastic, and
yeah, I hear it.
Yeah,
it's infectious, and I'm hoping it inspires other people. You know, it's one of those. I mean, you've been at practice for a while, so you're ready to make this pretty much a 7-day-a-week commitment that you'll make choices for yourself out of conscious compassion awareness. But it's sort of like when people are becoming vegetarian. You know, our encouragement always is, well, see if in this meal you can eat vegetarian. Or today
mm-hmm.
could you eat as a vegetarian? So we don't have to just go whole hog. Ooh, what an unfortunate. Well, no, I guess it's as long as it's a living hog. It's not a problem, is it? Whole hog into something, we could say, well, you know, on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, I'm gonna devote those to practice, or Wednesday, or one day a week, or whatever it is. Or a Saturday morning, but something where I practice bringing conscious, compassionate awareness, I make the choice, I keep the commitment to myself. It makes all the difference.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, there's nothing wrong with anything I did before.
No, not a bit.
And
because
so,
every
yeah,
bit
so,
of it helped
yeah.
you get to where you are now.
Yeah, I can see it clearly, and I can now... And it'll probably happen again, and I can let it go. And if it does, then I'll see it again, and I'll practice because of it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We can't lose.
Yeah.
We cannot lose.
Nope. So thank
all right.
you and all the people who are doing all these amazing things. Thank them, too.
Yes, thanks to everyone. Huh? All right.
Yes, exactly.
And especially to you. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Sherry. This is Beth.
Oh, hello, Beth. How are you?
It took a lot of courage to call tonight.
Uh-huh.
There's another big change.
Say that again.
Okay, so been listening, kind of processing the conversation, and now that I'm actually on the air, I'm finding emotion is back front and center, and I'm trying to speak through it.
Mm.
but one of a recording and listening that I've started around Christmas that's been very successful for me. Is I recorded myself doing the daily recollection,
uh-huh.
and I play it back and do the daily recollection every morning.
Oh, lovely.
I have a very hard time listening. I can record, but I don't really like listening. But I find that that one, it's just become, you know, a habit.
Uh-huh. And does it feel, how does it feel to listen to the daily recollection?
Well, I have never, I've actually tried to get other people to read it with me because that's something I really miss is the group reading. And it just is kind of hollow doing it by myself. And it just has not been successful. Even people who are deep in their own practices, you know, just, you know, this isn't my thing. And then kind of, so it's like
you mean there are people who are so into their own practice that they won't read this with you?
Well, what I'm finding is that people have to be drawn to it. That you can't, it never works to like say, hey, I got this really great thing. I'm going to love it.
Say that again, Beth. I had a hard time understanding that?
Well, like I have people that give me books that have changed their lives, and I can't get past the first chapter.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I grew up as a missionary kid, so I grew up being trained to proselytize. It doesn't work.
Uh-huh. Well, you're not trying to proselytize, right? You just want to borrow their voice for a few minutes.
Right. I just wanted their company. Yeah. But by doing the recording and listening, I'm hearing it and speaking it at the same time, and I'm satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Because I was going to say, you know, we have a recording of it from the monastery. You could play it and record you with them, but you've already got it covered. So that's very good. Now, tell me about not liking to listen. How come?
Well, three things. One is it's my own voice. I don't like the sound of it. It's kind of scratchy. It's also kind of where the ALS is getting noticeable, so I don't like hearing it. And the third is, like this, you know, the person who's listening is never the person that recorded it.
Right. Right. And now, do you know that something close to 100% of the people who take up recording and listening hear a voice say, "I hate the sound of my own voice"?
Yeah.
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 Okay, good. So that's, you know, that's a big one that karmic conditioning uses. And so do you ever hear recordings from somebody who is kind of on your side and encouraging you and supporting you and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've got a couple of those.
And do you like listening to those, or is that easier?
It is easier, but it's nothing that I ever reach for.
Uh-huh.
Although, you know, I've got maybe 15 hours worth of recordings.
Uh-huh.
I've done, you know, a variety of things. And I just don't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I'm not here to create and claim the belief. And I get it, you know, I don't have to believe, you know, in any kind of, you know, story about religion or anything. But I do believe my own experience.
Well, you don't have to believe that person who says that.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Okay. Let me give you an example. So there's this person, this person has a dominant subpersonality. We could say maybe ego identity, but a dominant personality. And then a lot of personalities who aren't as dominant and so kind of take a back seat to this dominant person. And this dominant person likes this and doesn't like that and wants this and doesn't want that and has opinions about that and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
So everybody else is required to go along with what that dominant person wants, not because they're smarter or more right or better or anything else, but just because they're dominant.
Yeah, I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict.
Yeah.
And conflict avoidant, so I'll let anybody have their way.
That dominant personality.
Yeah,
the dominant personality will. But if there's someone else who says, "Now, wait a minute, I'm tired of having my toes stepped on all the time. I'd like to address this." Dominant personality says, "No, we don't do that."
Yeah.
So the dominant personality has a big investment in being I. Right? Because then when I says, "I don't like," or "I don't want," or "I don't do," then everybody goes, "Oh, well, okay, well, if that's the way you feel about it." But all those folks inside are going, "I don't feel that way. I don't think that. I don't want that. I don't like that. You're not speaking for me." Dominant personality.
Yes.
So
yeah.
There could be a ton of, especially younger folks, who would love to hear you tell them that they're okay and they're going to be all right and you're there and you like them and, God forbid, even love them and you're going to take care of them, and you're pleased with this about them, and how you like that about them, and all like that.
Yeah. I do get that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dominant personality that is really invested in being an I and has all these rights and thoughts and likes and stuff, and then the other personalities get kind of tired of having their toes stepped on. And there's some younger parts of myself that would really like to know that I like them.
Would love to hear. In fact, would never get tired of hearing you tell them that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck to know they're okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, if you decide to take this up and you decide to start caring for them and interacting with them, then when you hear dominant personality start in with blah, 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 you just go, this is not your time, DP. You know, we hear from you all the time. This is time for other people. There's, you know, you're not the only player in this game. So just calm down. And I think, Beth, it'll change your whole orientation to life when you begin to really step back from that dominant personality and realize it's not you.
Okay.
All right, you'll try it out and you'll let
me know.
Simple
but not easy. Yeah.
Simple but not easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But fun. Once you get past that hump, it is so much fun because those people are so happy and excited and lit up to get some attention and some approval and airtime.
Life is short, you know, it's time.
Life is short. Yep. Yep, it's time. And you'll let me know, won't you?
Yes.
Good.
I'm here every Tuesday.
Good. Good. Okay. All right. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Sharon.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air. Sure. I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Beth from Colorado.
Beth from Colorado. How are you?
I am well, and I called in on such a lark. I've been trying to call in since actually the end of last year and just haven't ever made it on, and so I just made it a practice of I'm just not going to call in just to call, I mean, because I have a certain issue. I'm just going to keep calling every single time until I get on.
And here you are.
And I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, Michael said, we might have time for one more caller. And I just perked up a little bit and I thought, oh,
that could be me.
That could be me. And it was. It was so great. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear about the practice, the sitting, the virtual sitting group.
Uh-huh. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because something that, as you may recall, that I keep kind of coming up against with conditioning is that sense of belonging, that sense of belonging to the Sangha, belonging to a relationship, belonging to, gosh, even myself. If that makes sense.
Bet it makes sense to a lot of folks.
Yeah, and so what was coming up for me during some of the conversations tonight was, wow, you know, sitting down and writing that commitment to myself, to those parts of me that, or especially the part of me that is devoted to practice, of just Because I think that's something that's been lacking since I did my move at the end of December. Things have felt just a little bit, I guess out of control isn't the right word, but a little bit just not geared towards commitments of practice.
It when there's an upheaval like that, I don't know if that's too strong a word, but that kind of transition, oh, karmic conditioning loves that sort of thing.
Because
there's just so many openings to come in and grab the attention.
Well, there's a lot of, well, you need to take care of this, and you need to take care of that, and you need to, you know, there's a lot of this stuff, and now there's a whole new social structure here, and there's, you know, there's just a lot that that has been distracting. And while I feel like I've kept up my commitments of, you know, my own meditation and calling in to the radio show and guidance counseling once a week and you know, things like that, I haven't done the other things that have been, that would round out and I think help me through some of the stuff that keeps coming up for me on how I'm doing. I really resonated with, you know, that sense of how am I doing, especially waking up in the morning and going to bed at night.
Yeah. Who are you going to ask? because the one who's really ready to tell you is not the information you want to have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, well, this is good, and I happen to know you're going to have a little more committed time of practice before long.
Yes, I am very excited about that, coming to the monastery for 5 weeks this time.
So that will be good, and in the interim, settling into your new life, practically on a different coast, and... there's a way in which, you know, we can say it's not all egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, because those kinds of big life transitions, it does take a lot. There is a lot going on. And, of course, the thing that we can realize is it doesn't need to be a distraction, which I think is what you're pointing at. You know, yes, you have to find out where the new grocery store is and get all of the things set up and everything put away, but that can be mindfulness practice as much as an opportunity for conditioning to come in and drag us off into whatever fantasy land.
Well, exactly. I mean, one of the things that is coming up for me is just treating myself with kindness. Like when I have a list of, okay, I'm going to get all this done today, like figure out who I'm going to go, you know, accountants and doctors and all that stuff, I'll go as far as I can, and then at the end of the day, it's the end of the day.
At the end of the day, you make a recording about what a fabulous job you did, how much you saw, what you realized, how you took care of yourself, the kindness that was there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so yes, with the upheaval, that what other people have offered is that gratitude that comes in, that this also is a chance to practice. You know, with the upheaval. And so I'm grateful for that. And I think, you know, I'm just really happy that it's just nice to call in, because I think that does help me feel that connection to Sangha. It's just making that commitment to call in.
Yeah, because, you know, otherwise, the way it's set up for, I think, an awful lot of folks, is the belonging is to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And it's an isolated, abandoned, alone belonging, but that's where the belonging is. That's the consistent relationship. That's who people are looking to for how am I doing, and that's where the information comes from about what I did that was okay and what wasn't and that sort of thing. And so we're used to a very kind of odd, negative sense of belonging. And what we are what we're replacing that with is a sense of belonging that brings us to center.
Okay, so if I can try to reflect what I feel like I heard you saying, the sense of belonging that people are typically getting and what I feel like I'm getting is a conditioned definition.
Well, it's even worse than that. It's a belonging to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yeah,
A belief that that's who I am. And so in belonging to ego, I'm isolated and alone and slightly abandoned by the... And so we want to replace that very unpleasant connection with a connection to center. And Sangha is that for those of us for whom it is. So when we are together, so, you know, you call into the radio show, and even though you're not unmuted, you're here.
And
people talk about that with the archives, you know, it's not even a live conversation. And yet there is that feeling of coming back to center. And when we're back at center, we know what we belong to. We belong to the human being, and we belong to life, and we belong to Sangha. We belong to one another.
How wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome. Let's talk again soon.
I will keep calling in.
All right. And then we'll see how it goes, huh?
And we'll see how it goes. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Good to hear your voice, Beth. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. I feel like I belong. It's great.
I do too.
It's
the best.
It is the best. And I realize that it's not possible not to belong.
That's right. That's exactly right. We can listen to voices trying to convince us. We can believe it once in a while, but it's not possible not to belong.
Very fun.
And what we have the opportunity, of course, with Sangha is to know it.
Yes.
To feel it.
Yes.
To know
exactly.
And feel that we belong. Yeah.
Yeah, on that really tangible knowing level. Yeah.
Yep. Here we are together.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.